Primer, bueno, sempre m'agrada agradecer que els nostres invitats venen a la nostra escola i ens ofereixen la possibilitat d'escoltar els veus diferents sobre l'arquitectura. Jo recordo sempre als estudiants que aprofitem, perquè per poder parlar ara és aquest el moment. No és el mateix fer una conferència a la web, que hi ha quasi tot, bueno, totes aquestes conferències després estan penjades a la seva web, que bueno, poder aprofitar per poder fer preguntes en vivo. Aprofito també per als estudiants que no ho saben, que el professor Portebron, que té el seu despatx a Rotterdam, està fent en aquest dia un workshop amb els estudiants de tercer i que el divendres hi haurà la presentació dels treballs. Esteu tots invitats a venir a veure els treballs i a comentar-los. I ara deixo la paraula a Paul de Verum. Merci.
Gracias. Aprendo mucho castellano en estos días, pero no trato de hacer la conferencia en castellano. Ah, sí, tenemos sonido. The story, I'm first of all introduce myself because not everyone, a lot of people now, a lot of students know who I am and what kind of strange alien I am maybe, but some people don't know, so I will first show you a little bit of my work in general and say what we are doing. In Holland, we are known from half of the 80s as a specialist in housing, and we started in Viviendas Protegidas, social housing, as young architects, and gradually we moved on to all kinds of housing, and especially the design of neighborhoods. Here you see some apartment blocks. It's just a rough collection. It doesn't have any red line. But this is what we did in the past and what we did recently, some of it. And we also, although maybe people don't know us by that, we also do a lot of public buildings, and that varies a lot. We do schools, we do offices for example, the healthcare or for the tax offices of the road tax. But we even made one of the prisons, new prison of Rotterdam, and we're still having another prison to go. And furthermore, what is interesting in our, I think, for my work as an architect is the relationship between urbanism and architecture, the in-between space, I call it, and that's we like to come early in a process to when not everything is already fixed on an urban level, and start to participate in making decisions on urban scale. Also, we have the ambition of going abroad. For years I've been traveling, and that's why I landed here also. And there are three countries where we have more regular connection with, and that's Denmark. We did several projects with Danish firms, and with Spain and Barcelona in region in especially. And we also worked and work in Russia. Because of economics, it's worldwide. These projects all are very unstable, and we have to wait what happens. We're still working on some of the projects, but we don't know what the future will bring, so we have to keep faith. And I'm going to the topic of today. It's in between space and what I call the space between public and private. And I noticed this is a red line in the work, that from beginning on, because of our fascination of these simultaneously thinking on an urban level and on an architectural level, that is one of the most important decisions architects have to make. To give you a hint how I am, I always think in the whole world, architects consider themselves as heroes. And you see here a few examples. For instance, Frank Lloyd Wright on the left above, he posed like a film star, and he posed as the hero of modern architecture in America. But also the public image of the in movies, like you see on this all these pictures from different movies, is that the architect is some kind of glamorous hero. And of course, you know all kinds of examples that prove it. But I come from a rare species. I started studying in the 70s. And in the 70s, the students had another vision of themselves. They thought architects were more like scientists, and we really wanted to wear white coats and be serious and investigate everything. And the Ernst Maigruppe, that's a group of architects who worked at the beginning of the last century in and around Frankfurt and landed also in Russia, gave us this image as a way of thinking. But on the other hand, I always like something strange, and that means that scientists always can prove theories, but on the other hand, you also have to, I like scientists with a twist, and you see a few examples of scientists who are not quite regular working in science, but invent things. But when I was studying, it was already given that the definitive solution for urbanism was kind of row housing in Western Europe, at least in Northern Western Europe. And we should never return to thinking in enclosed housing blocks again, because this was progression. My teachers, my professors said, never again we will make any enclosed housing block, because this is the next step in evolution. But what got lost along the way, I think, is the urban quality of the courtyard. And here you see an archetypical courtyard of one of the houses for the nuns in a courtyard, and with a quite different world. And these kinds of spaces in urbanism tended to disappear while thinking in terms of row housing, separate blocks. And I think the beginning of this thinking of an intermediate space is the patio house. This is an early design we made for a scheme in the an urban scheme of OMA for a patio house, which I think this is the most strongest urban space you have, even in a house. The patio connecting everything, every individual room. And here, for instance, we made an open patio, and you can even go to the you have to go to the bathroom and to the toilet through the patio. And of course, in Holland, when the amount of rain is very very large during the year, we had to invent some system. So we made it possible that this is the organization of a house, but on the other hand, we could open and you could open and close the roof, a glass roof, with remote control. First, I go into the space in between bars, and these are projects of our work and how we react to this system, this doctrine Walter Gropius gave us. The first project we did was an urban plan, urban renovation block in Rotterdam. It was social housing, and the district was made up like here, a railway, a raised railway on a viaduct and enclosed housing blocks, large, narrow, long, narrow enclosed housing blocks. The municipality asked us to make to think about a square to give a more public space, and we added atypical rows because we thought this bore of this railway line, which separates two areas of the same district, should be the connecting thing. So what we did is cut up the program. They asked for workshops, row housing, and apartments in a L-form shape, recreating the old part of the old housing block. We cut it up in making two rows and created for that an in-between space and connected it with underneath the viaduct with the other side. And when you see below, this means that you cannot, you have to rethink the program of the blocks you're making. And what we did is make new typologies. So the lower part of the block is orientated towards the new public square, and the higher part is twisted 180 degrees towards the city center, where the more high-rise buildings are located, of which it will be family. You see, have an image of the block which has two orientations, and to make it possible, we had to also invent a typology which could be turned 180 degrees, and it led to a neutral typology of housing, which was not exactly common, a large bedroom for the parents and a small bedroom for the kids or something. It was more neutral, so you could use it in different ways. Another small project which comes from this time is a project which was in Rotterdam South, also social housing, and it is in this area, and here is a dike, and the municipality wanted us to make a small enclosed housing block. We made rows here, three rows, and you can see it on the right, and opened up this area, so there was more connection possible. And because of the streets in this area should be higher on the level of the dikes, it became more of a public space. You see it on the picture on the right. It's an elevated living street, and it became more personal for the people who lived on the street, because you had to go up half a story to reach it. So we also by then thought of other kind of possibilities of housing types. For instance, on the front, on the main road here, we introduced workshops which were connected with the apartments above, and now it's maybe more common, but that these were the first ones in Rotterdam, and they were very popular. And on the other hand, the low rise here had special entrances. The rooms they had, when you come in, you immediately enter a room which could be used for all kinds of things, like having a dining room there, and it could be connected to the street. So what happened is that the people used also the street in between the blocks a lot, and that's for Holland uncommon, because everyone whole life of the family is normally within the house. To go further, this is one of the projects which is more in existing areas of the 60s. Urban renewal is taking place because of the way the open housing blocks, which were introduced maybe by Van Eesteren in Holland, didn't function because of the big scale and the anonymous ground space. So in this area, there were larger apartment blocks, and they asked us to rethink about the connection between the space and the blocks. And we introduced row housing, but on a totally different way than in this area. than normal, we had to recreate the density, even make higher density, because if you destroy houses, you have to pay also for the demolition and create new houses. We made a neutral grid of row housing, but introduced another in between spaces. You have different kinds of spaces in between. Here it's more for private gardens, here for communal squares, and here is the public road. And on the right above, you see in the colors, the yellows are a little bit raised public squares connecting the blocks and giving them different orientations. So you see how the system from above works. And to deal with this, one block could border a private garden on the one side and a public square on the other, or a street, or it could be bordering two private gardens. All these different situations led to that we had to make a catalog of types, which gave us uncommon housing types. You see it, how it works. We wanted to recreate a kind of little village in between. You could move in an informal way, that you can reach one square, go over a little part over a pedestrian street, then enter a square again, so that there's no monotonous way of going through this building, through this area. Now I come to the topic that was row housing, and the other topic is ensemble, an ensemble of buildings, and the way it relates to the in-between space. Again, in Rotterdam South, it's up till now it was social housing. This is also social housing. There were two blocks. They were asked us to think of how to make it, make a new proposal for it, because these are from the 19th century, very narrow, with bad interior spaces. And we came up with a scheme, you see on the right above, where we got out the in-between street, made a public space of it, and related all the buildings around it to this space. That means that you have to think in another way about how the border is between private and public. So we made two little complexes here. In it are private gardens, and around it are the buildings guarding it from the public space. And we had to find a topology which worked with this different situation. And from this space, there's transparency with little trapezium blocks towards a bigger square. You can see how it works, the public space in between. It's traffic-free and has children playgrounds, and the relationship between these spaces and the typology, because we had to invent a typology in which galleries, you can see here you enter the building for the apartments above and go through this gallery towards your apartment. So it's a little complex in a small scale. And this is also another ensemble way of thinking. It's in Rotterdam South, also in the Old Harbor. And what was made in the 60s here was a comp structure. And that means long elongated blocks, you can see, and 90 degrees on it, smaller blocks. And the way gardens and streets are connected is very indifferent. It has its space is floating, and it doesn't have a good definition of what is public and what is private. So this was built. Part of it was built, and we were asked to contribute to the last phase of it in this area. Sorry. But because of changes of rules, building was stopped in this area, and 10 years later, we were asked to rethink of it, how it should be made, and we proposed not to make this comb structure because it didn't work in the existing part, but and introduced again a parameter block, the red thing, and made the lower blocks inside this parameter. Of course, you cannot make it in the old way, a really closed block, so we perforated the parameter. And we had to introduce bigger apartment buildings, which were orientated towards the river. It is a very nice location, so it's very preferable to have these apartments looking onto the horizon into the way the river flows. And here you see the configuration. It's an enclosed housing block with openings, and inside is low rise, but also public space, and it's orientated towards the river. And we had to find again a catalog of typologies separating public and private. You can see the inside of the block. It's a raised public square. And by using split level typologies for the lower buildings, we could have private loggias, private terraces, and they are defined half a story above the level of the public space, which creates also a nice atmosphere because we introduced glass here, which illuminates the parking garage, which was half on the ground under it. Another ensemble, a way of thinking about ensembles and public and in-between space, is this office we made for a housing company. And what they asked for is, on this diagram, a big block. And we thought it was inappropriate because the scale difference of this area has a larger scale with a metro line, and it's a main road into the city of Rotterdam. And here you have farm-like housing, so you have two kinds of scales together. So we thought, well, we're not going to make this separating block, but we make an ensemble of smaller elements connecting them again into the big building. By doing this, we could create two courtyards, one inside the building you see here, and one outside the building, and around it all the elements of the office which could be separated very clearly, but connecting we connected them again with bridges and paths. You see how that works on the front. You see the bigger scale of the road and the metro line, so there's a more smooth, bigger scale of the block. On the other side, you have the elements connected with glassed areas, and inside you have a kind of square where all the elements come together, and you can see by people walking through over the bridges and so see the lively community of the office. We also did studies to make also a parameter block, and we thought of not making it the way it is common known as outside inside, but see what we could do with this feeling of in-between space. The project which was given to us was this, and we remodeled the configuration of the areas inside. In a way, it's a public space in different degrees, finally leading up to the most private communal space. So here you enter the area with the most public space, then you go into this area, then in between area, which is also quite private, and a completely traffic-free area inside the heart of the block. You see the border, and on the right below the living street connecting the more public to the more communal area. And here is the inner court which you can enter, of course, by everyone. It's public, but on the other hand, it has a feeling that if we see how it's used now, that people think they're permanently on vacation. Children also from the other blocks are playing here because it's a nice safe area to be there with kids. The other way of thinking is a solid block, and what happens when you introduce this inside space. I give an example by this school, a secondary school, to learn how to cook and to be a carpenter and things like that. It's in a scheme of the Dutch urban planner Westacht, Adriaan Geuze, and it's a large area. You can see a big area remodeled into, in a way, a kind of campus. There are four schools concentrated here, different with different religious beliefs, and also other attractions. So there is sports facilities. There are workshops and firms which can use trainees from the schools, and there is also housing. So it will not be a campus which is closed after 7 o'clock or something, but it will be a new neighborhood of this little city south of Rotterdam, Dordrecht. And our block was concentrated here, and it's at the end of a large boulevard, a green boulevard. The idea of the urban space was to not to make separate blocks, but to create an urban tissue. And so we had a solid block as a given, a rectangular block. But we thought of how the program could fit in this way of thinking, and we talked to the directors of the school, and they said, well, on the left you see the classical way of making a school is making classrooms and a corridor. And the teachers and the professors said, no, it's not clear what, when you finish the school, when it's built, if what kind of system we have. The government changes every several years with thinking about how education in Holland should take place. So the school thought, well, if you have a way out, please do. And we thought, well, maybe we should better make a neutral floor space and cut out the more communal spaces so that we have more freedom. Here you can see how this works. We introduced three patios with different themes. One is more like a water area, one a wooden and plant area, and the other is an entrance patio. You will see it on the pictures. And this was what we took as a start, and then started thinking about how circulation could be as simple as possible. And of course you need things like technical stuff and things like toilets to be fitting in on a fixed place, but other things we wanted to leave for free. And you see the cutouts of the patios in the volumes. On the above you see the entrance patio with which goes on, and the other two patios started at the first floor level. These are the three patios, and they have all the space inside the school has a strong relationship with these open areas. You can orientate yourself very well, and you can see diagonally through these spaces inside again. So it becomes a like a small community. This is the organization of the school. First you have the main central circulation concentrated in the heart of the school. Then there were assembly halls introduced and educational space. The educational space is green, and the assembly halls were more public spaces, because the large one on the right, on the left picture, you see two purple spaces. The biggest one is the aula, which could be used also for events. And the other one, the smaller purple one, is concentrated towards the street and could be used as a exhibition space for to show visitors how education took place in this school. Furthermore, you need, of course, your utility space. Like I told you, all the things you need in a school which will not be changed, and office spaces. This is the principle. We could start with the classical system and could move on within the same structure towards an open, like an office, open office spaces, because the educational system goes much more into integration of theory and practice. You can see it's the economics department of the school where people, where children learn to make shop windows, escaparates, and at the same time do the administration for a shop and all kinds of things in the process of making things and selling things and calculating. This is the main entrance from the park to the to the interior of the school with a village square like a courtyard and large doors. Doors are quite high. We wanted to give a more majestic feeling to the school by making a very high ground floor. And you see the relationship between the outside spaces and the interior spaces, and how life on the ground floor takes place, and the outside space forms part of it by introducing more light into the building. This is the auditorium, which could be opened and also be connected to the circulation space, and on the first floor. At several points you can experience several patios at the same time, and you see people moving. Of course, we made these pictures after school time, but usually you see a lot of people moving into the building. To make a flexible organization, you also need to think about flexibility of the facade, and we wanted not to make a neutral box. So what we did is make the concept is a module, and per module of the facade, we made the same amount of open and closed in glass panels. So the half of the panels is opaque and half is transparent, and they differ according to the composition, but they always have the same amount of light into the rooms. Oh, sorry. Here you see the. It's the end of the construction, so you see not much nice garden around it, but and it's empty. But the red below is the exhibition room for the work of the students. You see it here better. And here you see the water patio. Also, the reflection by day, the reflection of the water, gives a special atmosphere inside the building. I told you about type 1, the bars, and the in-between space, type 2, the ensembles, and how you could arrange it around public space. The perimeter blocks, which you can open and make special spaces in it, and the solids. Gradually, the feeling of urbanism is getting stronger when you look at these different typologies, and also the density is increasing. And what happens now is that we have to work, we are regularly invited to work in high density areas, and you cannot think anymore in these different typologies. You have to think in I call it hybrids, in typologies which happen at the same time. For instance, I show you two examples, and one of example is the perimeter block and ensemble. It's a block we did in the area of Eiberg, and you cannot call it a perimeter block, and you cannot call it an ensemble. It's an in-between version of it. Eiberg is situated, the most of you now already have heard enough of Eiberg, but I still repeat it. Eiberg is situated in the water of Amsterdam, and is totally artificial. Amsterdam, Holland, and Amsterdam has a history of gaining, regaining, and gaining land from water. And this is it's not an uncommon solution when we need space to build on, to make new districts like Amsterdam has, because the borders on land are directly connected to other municipalities which are building on their own ground. So Amsterdam cannot expand on ground, so they decided to make an archipelago, a system of islands in the water, in the IJmeer, the lake on the right you see. And this is taking place, this this archipelago, and one of the first islands, and the biggest, is Haven Island, Harbor Island, and this is part west of it, you can see. And it's based, this the structure of this island is based on a grid system. And by introducing several elements, the grid becomes a nice neighborhood with differences in spaces when you walk through it. The rules for the architects were very severe. The municipality gave us a book of rules, and we had to work with them. On the left you see the concept is a grid, very clear, of course, the structure of the streets. On the I go from above left to down. The parameter box are given, and water and solids, the water is introduced in the, you see it here. So the island is first made, and then water again is introduced as an structuring element. And here's solids, it's called, we call that, it's a common name now, it's buildings which have could have all kinds of use. It's a building which attracts activities. It could be housing again with workshops. It could be all kinds of different functions. And public open spaces were introduced. In the middle is the concept for the block. The block has a formal parameter. You should respect it. But an informal interior. In the middle, the interior could be informal. And on the other hand, the interior could change also, and even the rules were given that you had to build so many houses that you could not build only a perimeter block. You had to invent a way out of this density by introducing maybe streets or courtyards inside the perimeter. And on the right you see what the municipality suggested, that the way of thinking you could have to cope with the parameter and the large amount of housing asked for. The municipality thought in a way that architects would work on it and make a homogeneous plan maybe out of it, but this is the model of all the different designs made by architects. And it was a lot of discussion adjusting all these different philosophies to make it into a nice urban district. Our plan is concentrated here and has some special features given by urbanism, that it is, you see, it's the artificial canal is, it's just at the corner of this artificial canal, and it's placed directly facing the water. And it is a very narrow block. It's the result of the urban planning, and you have to rethink what the content will be, because it's not a neutral open space. So we started thinking about the relationship between outside world and inside world. We thought of, because of the density, to make a composition of objects. I'm going from there to there. But we also wanted this transparency, because both situations on the lake and on the canal are very worthwhile for having vistas. And also we wanted to create different routes, informal routes through the area, and also introduce special functions at major points in the block. And when you make all these kinds of different ensemble elements, you get special connections between them. Which was common at that time, we made an urban idea about the block, then three architects, two others, and we started working together in making different programs in the volumes we suggested. And it led to a lot of discussion, but it came also a miniature neighborhood which had very many qualities. So you can see how it finally came out. The routing is very diverse. You can cross the block in very easily. Furthermore, there is a public and private space inside the block. And here you see the circulation system which were coming out of the configuration of the urban plan. What was also very important is that we had this transparency. We not only made transparency on ground level, but also on the higher level. And we had to introduce different typologies. The row housing and apartments were combined, so it led to a very complex system of combination of different buildings. You see the layout of the courtyard. Underneath underneath it is a half raised covered parking garage and a public space above it, and the buildings which rise above the lower parts. Here's one of the connections of the building, different buildings, making it very standing out as very special. And this the important connection we wanted to have with the canal is making in a way like in Venice the buildings directly border the water to have this same feeling that when you are inside you have a direct connection with the water. This is during construction to show you that there are several ways of seeing the water. For instance, here through this narrow space you can see the horizon of the lake on the outside, and here's the inside courtyard connected to the outside space. Here at that time the water was not made yet, so you cannot see that, but you saw it on the earlier pictures. And there are different separations between public and private, so that here you have private gardens, but they are separated from the communal space. The last hybrid, last combination I show you is Westerdokse Eiland. It's a collection of solid and ensemble, and it's placed also in the harbor, former harbor area of Amsterdam. It's on this former railroad area. And what was given here was a huge density again, because this is the most favorable spot in to have a new housing district, very close to the central station and very close to everything interesting in Amsterdam. So we were given a very big program, and the municipality gave us a solid, almost a solid volume, and we had to cut out elements to make good housing out of it. Four architects, one, two, three, four, were asked to make an urban idea about how to work with this with these given facts, and we did this part. MVRDV did this one, and Meijer van Schoten, Dutch firm, did also this one, and the Belgian firm Bob van Reet did that one. And we, as you can see, this is our scheme. And the concept of it was we started, the architects worked together, so they started thinking in a way of making first a solid with a barcode. That means on the one side you have the water, on the other side you have the canal. It's very interesting to make zones, cut up the area in zones which have a connection with both sides of the situation. Then we made cutouts in the form of public patios inside the block. You see it in this stage, and resulting from it you get low rise in the yellow in the middle, which could be filled in with workshop houses, because we also wanted to have activities more than only housing. And above it on a higher level, The orange blocks are orientated to define the whole area and separate it from the main roads. And more above it is high rise, these blocks, which give the area its identity from when you see it from afar. Every zone had this a patio and a public space, which we gave different feelings. The one which was orientated the best towards the sun got the theme as a garden, to make it into a garden. The middle had the idea that we would relate it to the boardwalks surrounding bordering the river Ay. And the other one was a small square and should be relayed to more to a village square. You see how it works in the ground plan. The garden-like area, the boardwalk area, and the village square. And every, because of the configuration, we had to invent this low-rise areas have orientation towards both courtyards, so you can, for instance, have your workshop here and live above, but you could also separate it and have the workshop entering from here and go upstairs from the other courtyard. So you could separate it if you didn't need this workshop. And here you see it is also because of the density, there's a large parking garage underneath it, and the composition of volumes leads to it's a small city feeling. It's again, it's not the only part of the area. We worked together with the four of us and also had to negotiate about positions of towers with on the other side of the street with the other architects, so that we all had the most favorable positions. And in our scheme, we tried to position all the blocks in a way that the apartments had simultaneously a view on the canal on the right side and the big water on the left. We worked together, like I told you, the first as urbanist architects, and then the area was cut up in three. This is our area. It was cut up in four zones, and we made two zones, this one and this one, and in between a Dutch architect and the Belgian architect Bob Verreed worked together with us to make the whole area. In our courtyards, the ideas of green space and boardwalk space and the village square also were prescribed as elements to use in architecture. So in reality, the facade in the green courtyard will be a green facade with ivy climbing up the facade, and the boardwalk courtyard will have wood as its main element, and the village square natural stone. Outside, the whole area and the other areas have brick as a kind of elephant skin connecting all the elements. You see the view seen from the canal with the large gates connecting the courtyards with the outside space. And here you see it from the interior. This is the village square with you can see double height connection with the water. So when all these construction things are gone, you can see the boats passing. Again, the village square. The boardwalk square under construction, wood as the main element of all the buildings surrounding it. And here this square was not finished when I was the least finished when I made photos, but we introduced bamboo a bamboo facade or bamboo sticks, and the first three levels the ivy will climb up the bamboo so that you get a green space connecting to the square. Yeah, again from seen in the cityscape of Amsterdam. So I come to my conclusion, and I want to, for the ones who don't know what is being done here, I give you a little introduction to the workshop we're doing, and that is Stijgeiland Eiburg. And it's again in it's in Eiberg, the water sprayed on of the land sprayed on the water, and like I like you maybe heard that I like to what that urban design generates a way of thinking about how housing should react to this special situation in which they are placed. And we introduced two topics. That's working from communal way of thinking of communal blocks to individualistic housing, and from individualistic housing to communal situations. The area is the first island of Eiberg, that's circled in the within the red circle. And the idea is that it's a nursery of Eiberg. That's the intention of the whole scheme, that all these different elements of this area, different islands and different parts of water, are like a laboratory of how to live in relationship with water. And below left you see the area which is part of study for the workshop. It consists of an island, a triangular island. It's called the Noordbuurt here, and a part of Waterbuurt, the water neighborhood. And this is closed by dikes. This area is, the dikes go in this way, and within it you have the island and you have the water area protected from the large fluctuations of the water. In this area, the island, we work on solid blocks which form one solid neighborhood, which is the intention that it rises out of the sea as one solid rock. And what is important here is the blocks are respected, but on the other hand, the in-between space of streets, of squares and of interior courtyard should be worked out and should relate to the way housing will be designed. And this picture shows that from afar, the whole area should have an icon-like fresh outlook, and it's called, I call it a cloud of towers. The towers will give identity to the whole area when you see it from far. And the other part is the water, Waterbuurt Oost, Barrio de Agua Este, and it's situated here, and it's a complete neighborhood made out of piers and floating houses, and part of it has houses which are partly platform houses, have partly on ground and partly in the water. So I'm very anxious to know what everyone who's working on it will be doing, and tomorrow we'll know what the result will be. Thank you very much.
I can say something about this strange picture. It's an anecdote.
This is the only car, private car ever produced by Holland, and it's called DAF. Now you know the name from the trucks. It's the same firm, but that was bought by Volvo. But it was a very considered a very bourgeois car. But on the other hand, it had a hyper-revolutionary gearbox. It had no gears, but automatically you could drive from 0 to 110 without having to change gears, and even could drive backwards. So in Holland, they had races driving backwards with these cars very, very far. Fast. And what I mean with this is that sometimes for an architect you have a quite common assignment, like building social housing, but you always have to find a way out of the common way of thinking, and you can find unorthodox solutions for it which give architectural quality to your designs.